are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura on a Football Thursday, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And I want you to call us, by the way, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. We'll take those and your tweets at Browns_daily. Also want to tell you that Cleveland Browns tickets are on sale now. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium for Browns football. Visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. We bring aboard now from CBS. He is a great friend, period, but has been a great friend of the show for all of the time that it's been on the air. Checks in with us. He is a former NFL player. He will be the analyst, and he gets a lot of these assignments, the analyst for CBS and its coverage of Sunday's game between the Browns and the Dolphins on TV, our good buddy, Solomon Wilcots. Hey, Solly.
Hey, Vic. How are you? And thanks for having me on today.
Wonderful that you're able to join us. And, Solly, I know you know this team well, and you've been doing your research, of course, on the Dolphins, but you've been out here multiple times this offseason. You came here in training camp. I want your thoughts now as you've seen how the roster shook out and that they did a lot of bottom-end changing on the Browns roster, but more or less the key pieces, the starters are who they are going into this game. Your feel for what this Browns team you think is ready to do with the season kicking off in 3 days?
Well, one thing I think they're ready to do is run the football, and I think they've got to be able to run the football. You're talking about an offensive line that appears to be ready to go, that's stacked and ready and healthy for the most part, and then healthy Trent Richardson behind it. I think with the loss of Josh Gordon week one, at least for the first couple of games, they've got to be able to run the ball and run it heavy. You know that's what Norv wants to do, and that sets up play-action pass for Brandon Wheaton, who I think can be really exceptional in Norv Turner's offense.
Solomon, Nathan Zagura here. As you look at this game for this Browns team under the new regime, it is a new era in so many ways, new coaches, new organization, top to bottom. It seems like more important than just a normal week one game for this team and this organization and really this community that is so heavily invested in the future of the Cleveland Browns. What are the things that the Browns need to do? What are the keys as you see them to come out on top and leave week one against the Miami Dolphins with a victory?
Well, as I said, they got to run the ball. This is a really good defense that you're facing in the Miami Dolphins. They've got a number of guys who can rush the quarterback. They got a number of guys who can do that. And what that means is to slow down a pass rush, you've got to be able to run the football to slow them down, create play-action pass opportunities, and then defensively, you've got to be able to create turnovers. I know that's something that's high on Ray Horton's list, not just getting pressure on the quarterback, but that pressure's got to lead to picks. Guys on the back end and secondary got to be able to catch the football. Defensively, you've got to be able to carry the day. I think any time to start off the season, the defense has got to be ravenous creating turnovers.
As we look at the quarterback for the Dolphins, Ryan Tannehill, again, second-year guy, but really even less than that when you consider how little he played at the collegiate level, only 19 college starts to go on top of his starts last year for the Dolphins. How ready do you think he is for a test like this? Because he should be seeing and facing a pass rush that could be as aggressive as any as he will see this year, given what the Browns invested in that and knowing Ray Horton, as well as you do, as his former teammate in Cincinnati, and you know him as a coach, to be aggressive in dialing up all those zone blitzes.
Yeah, they're going to want to test his poise. They're going to want to test his ability to read defenses, to check his protections, and go with a hot route against any kind of blitz looks. They're going to test him physically to see if he can take a hit and remain poised. I think that's what you got to do anytime a young quarterback it's coming into your house. But for young quarterbacks starting off a season, going on the road, the crowd noise, and handling all of that, I think it's going to be part of the equation for Ryan Tannehill. You mentioned it didn't play a whole lot at Texas A&M at the quarterback position, but I give him credit for starting all 16 games 1 year ago during his rookie campaign. He did have over 3,200 yards passing And against Ray Horton's defense, against the Arizona Cardinals, Tannehill had his best game, 431-yard passing. It wasn't an overtime loss. But he's proven that even with those looks that Ray Horton's going to give him, because he gave them to him when he was with Arizona, the kid will surprise you. He can make all of the throws. So I think being on the road, though, is where it's going to be a difficult task for Ryan Tannehill.
That was the game where Brian Hartline had 12 catches for 253 yards and a touchdown that game against Arizona last year. And to me, that's one of the critical matchups. Brian Hartline against Chris Owens of the Cleveland Browns. When they go three wide receivers, the Dolphins, Buster Screen will slide inside against Gibson, and Hartline will be locked up with Chris Owens. We haven't seen much of in the preseason. I think that's going to be a critical matchup. How do you see that one playing out?
You better give Chris Owens some help against Brian Hartline. I'm just telling you that right now, because I watched Hartline in training camp. I watched him in the preseason. This guy, and you should know him well, having gone to Ohio State,
sure,
is better than when he played at Ohio State. He runs some of the best pass routes. Tannehill was most comfortable going to him, particularly on third down, and the guy can't be covered. He can shake any defensive back in his league. He runs precise routes. His footwork is more like Steve Largent back in the day. And if you don't have double coverage on him, bracket coverage, he will eat you alive. And that's why he had those number of catches for over 200 yards receiving. Ray Horton knows that, though. I got to believe he knows more than anyone that you've got to defend against Hartline.
Solomon Wilcots from CBS Sports. He also works for NFL Network, but he will be on the call for Sunday's television coverage of the Browns and Dolphins, First Energy Stadium, 1 p.m. kickoff. And, Sally, a lot of discussion this offseason in the investment the Dolphins made to try to get better. Most of that investment went into the pocket of a guy named Mike Wallace at wide receiver, former Pittsburgh Steeler, a guy that this Browns team knows well, a guy that Joe Hayden, a cornerback who has been assigned to him multiple times, knows very well. What kind of impact do you think that guy can have? Because I know some of the buzz through this summer and this offseason has been that Wallace and Tannehill weren't really coming together and on the same page so much.
Yeah, but you know what he gives you? The one element that all coaches crave, because they know it's something they can't coach, and that is blazing speed. And you've seen it in his days with Pittsburgh, and Ben Roethlisberger talks about it. He can lift the coverage, and if Joe Hayden is busy chasing him and the safety over the top of Mike Wallace, which you are going to need, that's going to open things up underneath for Hartline. It's going to open things underneath for Brandon Gibson in the back coming out of the backfield. I know Miami wanted to have a Dustin Keller, who's now out for the year working in the underneath coverage. But if you've got to have two defenders over the top of Mike Wallace, because he's got the kind of speed that most defensive backs just can't run with. And so he will open up the field. Even if he doesn't show in any of the statistical categories for catches, his presence is going to be felt in the fact that he's going to create room to operate underneath.
For the Browns to win this game, they need to do something that takes Mike Wallace out of the game, because you need time to throw it deep, and that's get to the quarterback. Jake Long gone. Jonathan Martin making his first start at left tackle for this team. How big of a perhaps hole is that in the Dolphins' offensive line? And is that the matchup really, you know, when you talk about covering Hartline, another way to help Chris Owens out on Hartline is to get to the quarterback. Jabal Sheard there, obviously they have brought in Paul Kruger as well. That Browns pass rush versus the Dolphins' offensive line. Talk about that matchup.
Yeah, I think the Dolphins are like a lot of teams going into the regular season when you have young players. You don't know a lot about your starters because so many of the coaches around the league didn't want to get guys hurt. So they didn't play a lot during the preseason. Excuse me. I think the same could be said for many other players for the Cleveland Browns. And this offensive line has yet to gel. Yeah, they are playing musical chairs along that front line. And they've got to prove that they can be cohesive and protect their quarterback, create a strong pocket, and allow Tannehill to step up in the pocket and drive the ball down the field to Mike Wallace. And I'm sure Ray Horton is saying, we got to force this guy off of his launch point. Can't allow the quarterback to step up and do that. That's going to be a critical, as you mentioned, critical piece to Sunday's game. Because if you can get pressure in the face of Tannehill, then that is probably your best weapon against them being able to connect deep down the field with Mike Wallace.
Solomon Wilcots joins us from CBS Sports. And Solly, as you think about and know about what the Browns are trying to build here with the new everything from ownership on down, the importance of this game, it just gets blown up compared to a normal season opener. And I think we've had this conversation in Cleveland before, but it just seems to have taken on a whole new feel here. And you've been through season openers as a player, and you've covered more than your share of them. But if you can sort of put in perspective what it means for the Browns and how do you like their chances of, you know, being able to find success with a game like this, as important as it is, especially, again, when they have to go on the road for their next two?
Well, yeah, I think both teams are a mirror image of one another. Both have quarterbacks in their second year from the class of 2012 who are in desperate need to get off to a good start and prove to the fan base and the franchise that they are the right quarterback for the football team. And so both, a lot is hanging in the balance. They need to build on their confidence early. They need to get a win so that they can feel like things are headed in the right direction. But regardless of, as you well know, what transpires on Sunday, it can all be wasted if you don't back it up. Week two, week three, right, with comparable performances. So, you know, I kind of caution both teams that you don't want to get too overly hyped. The Cleveland Browns come out and win this game and say, oh, here we go, and then things fall apart week two, week three. I think it's got to be that mindset. As you well know, the euphoria comes with it, confidence, and the fan base rallying around the team with a week one win. But we've seen too many teams falter in the recent weeks after that, and I think that's what you got to understand. I know the Browns front office understands it's a marathon, not a sprint. And you want a good September more than you want a week one. But, you know, hey, a good game in week one is how you really want things to start. It's how you draw it up. But if it doesn't happen, I don't know that you really start to doubt the football team. I think you got to hang in there a bit.
All right, Solomon, appreciate the breakdown, the knowledge. We know you're going to be here tomorrow checking out the Browns at practice and preparing yourself for the broadcast on Sunday. So we look forward to seeing you here. And, again, thank you so much for your time and safe travels.
All right, thanks, guys. We'll see you soon. All
thanks, right. Solomon.
He is Solomon Wilcots, does an outstanding job for CBS, and we look forward to hearing what he has to say about this team during broadcast. He's going to come in and learn more about them, too, over these next couple of days. Dolphins-Browns, that is Sunday, 1 p.m. First Energy Stadium, 3 days away.
It's only 3 days.
3 days.
3 days.
So get there early. You know that. We want you there early. We want you to be a part of it. We want you to be a part of Paint This Town Browns tomorrow. That's an overriding theme. So get on board with it all. And, you can call us, too, 216-578-0850. Tweet us at Browns_daily. And Don Banks, by the way, from SportsIllustrated.com, will be joining us.
And to help you paint the town Browns,
yes,
you could go to First Energy Stadium today. It's open from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Can you?
You could go to shop.com. shop.clevelandbrowns.com. Go to the official Browns team shop at the stadium. Get your gear so that you can paint the town Browns each and every Friday this season.
That sounds like just an organic thing and not even red.
It was beautiful. Yeah.
It was a fantastic.
It wasn't as good as the Segway yesterday, but it was still pretty okay.
Segway. More coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, ESPN 850 WKNR.